Lord, we pray for your presence with us. Lord, we've been praying about your creative voice, which brings into being your kingdom. And we just pray for your word now, Lord, that same word that spoke into darkness and brought creation, that same word that brought life. We pray the same word now will bring life into us, life into this word, life into our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Very excited about the passage today, actually. It's a passage that's very familiar, but I'm hoping I can draw out some extra truth, extra bit of teaching through what we're doing. So the reading is taken from Mark, and it's chapter 10, and it's from verse 46. And you're going to have to just listen to it, I'm afraid, because I don't think we've got it on the overhead. But it's the story of Bartimaeus. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. So it's, as I said, it's a very familiar passage. And on the surface, you might think it's pretty straightforward. There's a straightforward healing. Not straightforward for us, straightforward for Jesus' ministry. Jesus meets someone who's blind. The blind person is healed. A demonstration of God's power. But I think there's a lot more going on. A lot more going on. And that's what I want to unpack a bit. I want to look at it from a number of different angles. That's a bit small, sorry about that. You got it there. I want to look at it from Bartimaeus' perspective, or Barty for sure. Actually, I used to have a lab technician called Barty. Sorry, that's a different story. From Jesus' perspective, but and also from the crowd's perspective. It's fascinating, I think, when you look at Bartimaeus and his journey through this scene. Because I think there's two contrasting things that are going on. The first is his humility, his great humility. He says, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." That's his first words when he sees Jesus, when he hears that Jesus is coming. "Have mercy on me, a sinner." And if any of you have ever done any meditation, or certainly from the Orthodox Church perspective, there's a prayer that you might be familiar with called the Jesus Prayer. And it goes, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And it's a meditative prayer that you would say again and again. And it's useful in terms of retreats and things like that to consider who we are and to consider the greatness of God and to sort of bring ourselves to that place of humility. But I want to suggest that maybe that's only half of the story. That's certainly only half of Bartimaeus' story, because he responds with two things. Firstly, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." But then he shouts out and he wants Jesus to heal him. He has boldness. And you don't normally put humility with boldness, do you? But I want to suggest that that is an ideal combination for us as Christians as we approach God. It's an ideal combination, humility and boldness. We know who we are. We recognize who we are. And we know who God is. And yet we have boldness to approach him, to ask him to heal us, to transform us, to change our lives. Then we look at Jesus, and I'm fascinated by Jesus as well, because he doesn't immediately heal Bartimaeus. He doesn't just see a blind man and pronounce healing on him. He asks Bartimaeus, "What can I do for you? What would you want me to do for you?" And the incredible dignity and honour that he gives Bartimaeus in that moment, I think is quite moving. He respects the free choice of Bartimaeus. And that's true of all of us, isn't it? We believe in a God who gives us free choice. He wants us to ask him for help. He wants us, but he doesn't force it on us. He gives us free choice to tell him what we need. And that, again, I think that's the purpose of prayer, isn't it? If God was just going to give us everything we need from the beginning, why would we pray? But he loves to hear our voice. He loves for us to be bold and to approach his throne of grace. But, as I already said, to approach with that humble heart of knowing who we are. I think also we can learn a little bit about how we pray for others in severe needs. Those that are disabled, those that are deaf or blind or disabled in a significant way. To have honour for that person, to respect them. What can I do for you? What is it that you would like God to do? How can I pray for you? And then I want to look at the crowd's perspective, because it's fascinating, only in a few verses, what happens to this crowd. The first thing the crowd do is to try and shut him up. Bartimaeus is sitting in the road, by the side of the road. In fact, if you try and picture it, it's somewhere the incident happens, somewhere at the entrance of Jericho, on the road to Jerusalem. And if you read the whole of Mark's gospel, you'll see that the next thing that happens is that Jesus enters into Jerusalem. He's in Jericho, which is about 15 miles away to the northeast. And it's the last place he goes to before he enters Jerusalem. And he's on a pilgrimage. I mean, we know why Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and he knows very well where he's going. He's going to the cross. But he's followed by loads of other people. There's a whole crowd following him. Some of them are following him. Some of them are just literally on a pilgrimage because there's a festival. It's the Passover. Everyone's going to the temple. And so you can imagine a whole load of people on a procession, on a pilgrimage, going together along the way. And there's this guy sat in the way, literally in the way. And so the crowd's reaction is, don't bother him. Get out of the way. And they try and shut him up. They try and stop him. And yet what happens the minute Jesus notices him? Jesus stops and he notices him and he says, call him to me. And in that moment, the crowd change. The crowd immediately say, come on, get up. He's calling you. And there's this moment where the crowd suddenly are on Bartimaeus' side. And it's dramatic. And it's like that song we were singing, when God speaks, there is transformation, there is creation at the beginning of time, and there is recreation, there's transformation. And somehow, the minute Jesus comes on the scene, the minute Jesus is there, the atmosphere changes. The crowd knows something's going to happen. And then in the same passage in Luke, it's slightly different. The same encounter is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke slightly differently. If you go back and read them later on, in one of them there's two blind people, they're not named. In this one, Bartimaeus is named, and the other is one blind person, but they're not named. But in Luke's passage, the crowd go one step further. They actually rejoice. They praise God. And so they go from being antagonistic and angry that this person's in the way to encouraging him to approach Jesus, to rejoicing and praising God. And that's the impact Jesus has. That's his presence. And what about Bartimaeus? What happens to him? Well, as I said already, he starts by the side of the road, in the way. He ends up on the way. He literally ends up on the way to Jerusalem. He joins the pilgrimage. He follows Jesus. It's a complete transformation. He is obviously blind, so he can't work. He's begging. He only has one item, probably. He probably only has one belonging, which is his cloak. And the reason his cloak is significant, because his cloak would be what he would have laid out in front of him to beg. It's his bowl. It's his begging bowl. And yet, what does he do? The first thing he throws his cloak away. He casts it aside. What a powerful image of someone giving away their life, throwing away their past. You just see it, can't you? He's throwing aside the old man, as it were. Even his name is complex. Well, it's interesting. It's called Bartimaeus, and actually means Bar, which is son of, and Timaeus, which is Timaeus. It's a Greek name. It's not like Timothy or something like that, isn't it? It's probably got that kind of root. But it's also interesting, there's two different cultures within that name. There's Bar, which is a Jewish root, and there's Timaeus, which is a Greek root. So his identity is complicated. In fact, his name is referring to someone else. It's his dad, isn't it? Son of this person. So he has no status. He has no identity. He has no role in society. He's ostracized. He really is lost. And the transformation that happens is that he is given an identity. He joins a community and he's healed physically as well. And that's what Jesus does. The word healing is really interesting as well. The word we use, or the word used in this text for healing, is the word we get sozo from when we, you know, have that sort of ministry. But it also means salvation. It can mean, in different parts of the New Testament, protection from danger, release from prison, deliverance of a whole nation, recovery from illness, healing of a disease, protection from evil, protection from death, protection from God's wrath. It's linked strongly with forgiveness on most occasions, and it's very often linked with God's peace, is shalom. So this word that we often see and read of healing, it's got a huge application. And so when we say Bartimaeus was healed and we move on, we miss a huge, we miss a lot. There's a lot of richness in that word. And as I'm trying to do, we miss a lot of richness in the story of Bartimaeus, because it's not just the physical healing. That's not just what's going on. He's being transformed. In fact, you could say, you could compare what he's doing to coming to faith. Because if you think about it, when we come to faith, the first thing we do is that we recognize Jesus. Who is Jesus? What does Bartimaeus do? He says, Jesus, son of David. He knows who Jesus is. Most of the disciples don't know. If you read the chapter beforehand, they have no idea at all. They've got it completely wrong. And this guy Even though he is physically blind, he can see. He knows who Jesus is. And when we come to faith, the first thing we do is we recognize who Jesus is. And then we say, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. We recognize our sin. We recognize who we are and who God is and how helpless we are without him. And then he calls us, just as Jesus called Bartimaeus. He calls us to come. And he says, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? He makes it personal, because it is personal. And he answers our prayer. He gives us what we need to follow him. And in Bartimaeus' case, he was given sight, physical sight. He didn't need the other version of sight. He already had it. He was spiritually able to see who Jesus was. And then he follows Jesus. And I just want to encourage any of you, if you haven't made that commitment, that's how powerful it is, and that's how simple it is to come to know Jesus. That is all we do. It's all about his presence and his transforming power. We recognize who Jesus is. We recognize who we are. We say, I'm just a sinful person, but accept me who I am. Please transform me. And he calls us and he transforms us with his power. And he heals us. And that's the transforming presence of God and of Jesus. Now, in our evening services, we're trying to look at community and loving one another and how we love one another more. And so what I want to do is I want us just to think for a few minutes about what does this message say to us about us as a church, as a body, as a community? What does it teach us about how we are to be with one another? I think the first thing that encourages me to do is to pray, and how to pray. To pray with humility, but with boldness. And to combine those two things. Whenever I speak to God, that I have humility, but I have boldness. That I know I can approach my God, and that he will hear my voice, and he will heal me. And we can do that for one another, can't we? When we pray together, let's pray with humility and with boldness. And maybe you might identify yourself with Bartimaeus. Maybe you feel like you don't have an identity. Maybe you don't feel like you have a purpose. And maybe that's speaking to you right now, that you think, I don't know where I'm going. Well, just picture yourself in that story. Just imagine yourself by the roadside and imagine Jesus calling to you. And throwing your cloak aside and running to him. But maybe we should be doing that for others. Maybe we should be, as a body and as a community of believers, we should be identifying those that are ostracized, those that are left out, those that are by the side of the road, in the way. Maybe we need to have that transformation that the crowd had, that we change our attitude to them, that we encourage them to come to Jesus, and that we worship Jesus when they are transformed. Because there's a challenge here for us to seek out those that are marginalized. So just to finish, I want to play a song. Is that okay to put it on, Ed? Because there's a song that Bethel sing, which is when you walk into the room, and it describes Jesus and his presence. And I think this is a wonderful song that it came straight to mind when I read about Bartimaeus. Because when Bartimaeus walks into this scene, everything changes. Bartimaeus' life is changed forever, but so is the crowd's. And so I just want you to close your eyes. Well, Either close your eyes or look at the words, whichever you prefer. But I want you to identify something in your own life that you want to challenge yourself with and you want to ask God to change and give it to Him. And let's just seek His presence now.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you, oh. We want you. We want you.
So let's just pray for a moment. Let's keep our eyes closed. Lord, I thank you for this transformation that we read about Bartimaeus. Thank you that we may be humble and know our place as we approach you, Lord, but I thank you that you expect us to be bold at the same time, that you encourage us to bring ourselves and our needs to you. You love to hear them. I thank you, Lord, that you're God of creation and a God of recreation and a God of transformation. Lord, give us the boldness to ask you, because you will transform us. Lord, I pray for anyone here tonight that doesn't know you, and I pray that they would be bold to take that step. That they may be humbled by who you are, but they're encouraged by your love for them and your ability to transform them. Send your Spirit, Lord. Transform all of us. And Lord, we pray not just for the harvest, Lord, but we also pray for those that are neglected by society, those that are ostracized by all of us. We pray that you give us eyes to see and the boldness to speak out. Lord, this week may we be those that bring your kingdom to those people, that they might be transformed. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.